In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today the Church reads for us, in the second Sunday of the Holy Blessed Month of Kiak, reads for us the Annunciation of Archangel Gabriel to the Holy Mother, the Ever-Virgin Theotokos, St. Mary, of the birth of our Savior. And if we look at how the Church arranges the readings of the month of Kiak, we see last week we heard of the Annunciation of the birth of who? St. John the Baptist. Very good. And then today we hear of the Annunciation of our Lord. Next week, what is the Church going to read for us? Very good. The meeting of St. Mary to Elizabeth, when she went to go visit Elizabeth. And the fourth week, the Church will read for us, very good, Waladat Muhammad Ma'badan, the birth of John the Baptist. And then on the Feast of the Nativity is when we hear of the birth of our Savior. So today, in the reading, we heard of the Annunciation to St. Mary of the birth of our Lord and Savior, or the Conception. And we can consider the Incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, or this Annunciation, as the miracle of miracles. Remember, we spoke a couple of weeks about miracles. God willing, today I will continue this, the discussion about miracles. And hopefully, we will finish with some points. We mentioned last time, just to recall our memory, that miracles weren't simply extraordinary events, but they were supernatural events. They weren't something like just to wow, because if we look maybe 50 years ago, if we showed them an iPad or a phone, a cellular phone, they'd be like, wow, so they'd be amazed. So it's not something that's simply just extraordinary, but something supernatural, something that defy the laws of nature and defy the laws that we abide by. We also said that it was normal for the Lord Christ to perform miracles. This was in his divine, nature. Miracles for him aren't something, supernatural, because everything's within his realm. So it's just something normal for him to be walking and people to be healed by his word. And we mentioned also that throughout the public ministry of our Lord, every miracle he did showed to us something of the miracle that was before us, but it had a hidden or unseen miracle behind it. So today, God willing, I'd like to speak or answer a couple of questions about miracles. What is the relationship between my faith or faith and miracles? What are miracles necessary for my faith? Are all of God's interventions miraculous interventions? And then how do we distinguish miracles from deceptions? So the first is the relationship between faith and miracles. There are actually four types of relationships between faith and miracles. The first is those who experience miracles believe because of them. So somebody sees a miracle, and because of this miracle, they believe in Christ and in Christianity. This happens often. We all probably know somebody who saw a miracle and is now a believer. If we recall in Scripture the story of the hemorrhaging woman who came up behind the Lord and said, if I shall only touch the hem of his garments, I shall be made well. So she had faith, and then she touched the hem of the garment, and she was made well, and she became a believer. We also look at the centurion, whose servant was sick, and Christ performed a miracle for him, and Christ even praised this man and told him that, "I haven't found such faith in all of Israel." So many people believe because they see miracles. But then on the other hand, there are those who the first one is that they experience miracles because of their faith. They had faith and then God performed a miracle. Then the opposite. Then they saw the miracle and they believed. Just like in the story of Lazarus, after Christ raised Lazarus from the dead, it says that many of the Jews who had came to Mary had seen the things Jesus did and believed in him. So because of the miracle here, they were converted to believers. The first, they displayed their faith first, and then Christ saw their faith and granted them the miracle. Now, the people saw the miracle first, and they believed in him. And actually, in the beginning of Christ's ministry, after the wedding of Cana of Galilee, which was his first public, you know, miracle, it says, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did." So people saw the miracles that he did and believed in him. And among them were the disciples, the apostles, the people that saw him and how he spoke and his miraculous workings, and they believed in him and they followed him. On the contrary, we have those who witnessed the extraordinary miracles of Christ, but yet they didn't believe. They didn't believe. If we look at the miracle that happened in 1968 in Egypt, with the apparition of Saint Mary in Zaytun, this was something that happened for an extended period of time, and many people saw this. But did everybody who saw it believe? No, unfortunately. Yes, many people believed because of it, but also you have those people who saw it and they still did not believe. We also hear how the Lord says, or how it says in the Gospel of John chapter 12, it says, "But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe." So although Christ performed many miracles before them, some didn't believe. And Christ performed the miracle of raising of Lazarus from the dead after 4 days of being dead. And as we know, after 4 days, khalas, the body is already decomposed or beginning to decompose. It has a stench. And actually, in the Jewish custom, they believed after 3 days, the spirit of that person would leave the body. It would hang around the body for like 3 days, and then after that, it would leave. So he came after 4 days. So everybody knew that this man was dead. And he raised him from the dead, but yet some still didn't believe. So even those who saw the miracles, they didn't believe. And the last group of people are those whom Christ refrained from performing miracles because of their unbelief. They didn't believe, or they refused to believe, and Christ therefore refrained to do the miracle because of their unbelief. And here we see in Matthew chapter 12, the man who says, "Teacher, we want to see a sign," or the Pharisee who came and told them, "We want to see a sign, we want to see you do some kind of miracle, we want to see some wonder." How did Christ respond to him? "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given it except the sign of Jonah." So he refused to do any signs before them because of their unbelief. Herod also, he said that he had hoped to see some miracle done by him. He wanted to see some magical power, something supernatural. That's all that they wanted to witness. They didn't want to believe, so Christ refrained from doing miracles. And even the Lord Christ speaks about the people of Nazareth, where his hometown was. What did he say to them? "He did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." So because of their unbelief, Christ didn't do any miracles. So are miracles necessary for one to have faith? Is it possible that a believer could live his whole Christian life and die a Christian and never see one miracle? Is it possible? I think it is. I think it is. And actually, I think that's what's called for us to live in, this hope of the unseen. St. Paul says in his epistle to the Hebrew about faith, he says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The ability to believe in something without seeing it. The ability to believe that I receive the new body once I am baptized in the baptismal font, and I'm putting on the new man. This is by faith. And I think the greatest example of living by faith without having to see a miracle are the three saintly children. And these children are just amazing because they were youth, and the amount of faithfulness and strength that they had was phenomenal. Of course, we all know the story of Nebuchadnezzar, how he told them, you know, if anybody doesn't bow down to the statue of mine, I will throw them in the fiery furnace. So they didn't bow down. So the people, you know, the magistrates, they got jealous and they said, they reported them to the king. The king told them to come and they stood before the king. And he says, is it true that you three youth didn't bow down to the statue when you heard the music playing? And let's listen to the response, because this response will tell us how we should view miracles. They told them and they said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this matter is, if that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. So their faith was greater than any miracle. And they said to themselves, if Christ wants to deliver us from the miracle and put out the fire, glory be to his name. If God wants us to burn in that fire, glory be to him, but we will not forsake our faith in him. So they believed despite the miracle. They believed despite the miracle. And let's, and keep in mind here, they didn't know the miracle was going to occur before they went in the fire. They didn't say, God's going to perform a miracle and be with us and he's going to be the fourth roaming around, so let's just go in there. They didn't know this. So going into it, they had no idea that the miracle was going to take place or not. But they were willing to sacrifice their lives and their faithfulness for this. So I think this is how we should look at miracles. If you look at the apostles, we say, yes, look at St. Paul. The prison doors were open for him. But then you look at St. James. St. James, he was martyred. We look at St. Stephen. He was stoned to death. But Lord, what about these people who were your great faithful servants and served your church diligently? How could you allow them to be stoned and murdered like that? Why couldn't you do a miracle? Here in the Synaxarium, some, you know, like Medimina, he was saved repeatedly. And St. George, for 7 years, they were persecuting him. And he would raise him whole every time. But then you hear of those that they, you know, they put him in the boiling oil and he died and lifted up his soul. Some have been chosen for this and some have chosen for this. But in both cases, or either cases, their faith wasn't shaken. Their faith remained firm. So is it necessary for one to have to see miracles to believe? I think not. So another question we can ask, are all of God's interventions miraculous? Are all of God's assistance in our life a miraculous? Some people believe that, or some people have the idea, if I'm sick with some kind of disease or illness, that God will heal me miraculously without me going through the proper channels of going to a physician. If you look at how God works, yes, we don't deny that he is able to do miracles and that he does do miracles and he actively does miracles in the world today. We don't deny that. But is this the way we should live, in the hope that a miracle will happen to me? If you look at the people of Israel, when they crossed the Jordan River, they came to Jericho. And they, by merely walking around the city 7 times, the walls came tumbling down. Miraculous, yes. And these walls of Jerusalem that were destroyed by the captivity, how were they erected? Were they erected miraculously? No. A man came named Nehemiah, gathered the people together, assigned each person their task to build a portion of the wall, and they rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem with the money of their enemies. Is this miraculous? It is miraculous, but it's not a supernatural miracle. So God doesn't always work in supernatural ways. Sometimes he does, but he doesn't always. He can work in the normal natural ways. Going to see a physician, taking the treatment that, you know, is prescribed for me, going through the rehab, struggling through the rehab. Is this any less of a miracle that I've, you know, become well? No. It's still the work of God is at work. The hand of God is at work. But sometimes we don't believe that God is working unless we see something supernatural, which is not how he always works. So then the question becomes, before we ask the question about whether a miracle is true or not, we have to ask ourselves a question, can Satan do miracles? Can Satan perform miracles? Do you remember what Satan was before he was Satan? He was an archangel. He was actually the head of the archangels, you know, they say. So he was an archangel. And he had, in his nature that God created him with, great power. If we can think of it as like maybe a Navy SEAL, somebody who went through rigorous, you know, training in the Navy and is the elite of the military. And then he gets caught using drugs or something, is court-martialed, and is kicked out of the military. And then he is left jobless, so he turns to the streets. And he's for hire. For anybody who wants to, you know, take care of somebody, he's for hire. Does this SEAL lose his ability and the training that he used in the U.S. military? No. But actually, he becomes one of the most dangerous and threatening criminals because of the skill set that he had acquired. So Satan is kind of the same way. He was created with this great power, and he has fallen by his choice and followed his pride and was removed from this service. But he still has this power that God created him with, but is choosing to use it for destruction and for corruption rather than obeying the commandments of God. So, can Satan do miracles? Yes, he can. And if we read in the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord says about the false Christ, he says, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive even the elect. So there will be deception by what? By great signs. So Satan can do miracles. Even in the Old Testament, it is attested to. It says in the book of Deuteronomy, if there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke of you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So even in the Old Testament, they had dreamers and false prophets that could do wonders and do miracles. And also, St. Paul tells us in the book of Thessalonians, he says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. So yes, Satan can do wonders. So here it's easily concluded that my faith should not be built on or around miracles because of the probability that I could be deceived by Satan. My faith should remain unshakable whether the miracle happens or the miracle doesn't happen. Whether I see a miracle in this life or I don't see a miracle in this life. So how do we see, or how do we determine what is miracle or from God versus something that is a deception from Satan? Three easy ways. We look at three things. First is the agent, the person that is doing the miracle itself. Is he in the similitude of Christ? Does he resemble Christ? Is he living a holy and godly life that we can say, yes, this person represents Christ? Or is there a discrepancy between his character and the character of Christ or the apostles? This person preached his charity, but yet does this person proclaiming these miracles, you know, wearing fancy things, flying in jets and whatnot? We have to be able to distinguish the agent. Is the agent a humble person? You know, typically, Christ, even sometimes when he did miracles, he told the people that he healed not to say anything, because his time wasn't yet. Although he's worthy of all the praise and glory, but he said, no, don't tell anybody that I did this miracle for you. For he even approached some of his miracles with this humble spirit. If somebody is gifted with the gift of performing miracles, it should have the same humble spirit. We also should look at the means. How is this person performing this miracle? Is it through sorcery? Is it through soothsaying? Is it through witchcraft? Is it through mediums? Is it through fortune tellers? Is it through using that Turkish coffee, al-ahwa, and turning it upside down and telling you something about the future? And what are the means that we're seeking God's help? Is it through a medium? Or is it through the intercessions of Saint Mary and the saints and asking in Christ to grant us healing or whatever it is that we're asking for? What is the means that the miracle, how the miracle was accomplished? Finally, we look at the result of the miracle. What is the result of the miracle? Are the people following the miracle worker? And is this miracle worker thriving on this? Then this is a spirit that takes away from the glory of God. So certainly there's something that's going on here. Something that's not right. Something we should click in our mind saying this, something is fishy about this. Does it give glory to His name? Does it confirm somebody's faith? Does it make somebody's faith stronger? Or does it make just somebody more wealthy or proud or temporarily happy? What is the result of the miracle? Lastly, when we look and we experience or we see a miracle or something happens, we can also seek the help of those maybe who can help us discern what is a miracle and what is not. We can search the scriptures to gain understanding of a miracle, of how to understand miracles. We can seek counsel from a spiritual father. We can tell them this and this happened. What do you think? Do you think this is something from God or something, it's a form of a deception? We can seek the lives and stories of the saints that are numerous in our church. So we can seek different avenues so we're not deceived. And lastly, I want to point to you here that it's not a sin not to believe in miracles. Really, Abuna? No, it's not a sin not to believe in miracles. God, Christ never told us, I want you to believe in my miracles. No, but He wants us to believe in Him as the sacrificial Lamb of God who gives His life for the world. When He preached, He didn't say, believe in my miracles, but He preached a message of repentance and that He can forgive sins. Believe in His ability to forgive sins. So even if we see a miracle and we're skeptical and we're not sure and we doubt, I'd rather doubt the miracle than follow the deception and be fooled. For it's not a sin not to believe in miracles or to be skeptical of them. That shouldn't shake my faith in Christ, in His abilities to forgive my sins, or His ability to perform a miracle in the future with me or with anybody else. So, today we witnessed, or we hear of the greatest miracle of miracles, the Annunciation of our Lord to, or the Annunciation of Gabriel of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to Mary. And we pray that we may have the correct understanding of miracles. And believe me, if we open our eyes to the work of God in the people and the circumstances around us, we will see many miracles before us that maybe are not of the supernatural nature, but of the natural nature. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.